277 and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Just call me Peggy.
Peggy Sue. Oh, for goodness sake. You drive me. She's driving me nuts yesterday on Twitter. She was moaning about pegs, you know, washing pegs.
Did you see them, Paul Andrews?
Yeah, they fell apart. Well, they cost you £2.
I'm telling you, it was a beautiful wash day. We had a little southerly breeze in Tankerton, where I live.
We had a hurricane.
Yeah, we did have it. Yeah, it was a hurricane, but my garden's quite sheltered. A little southerly breeze. Mm. And I thought this is the perfect drying day.
Right.
To save on the old, you can't put the, you know, what's it called, tumble dryer on, can't put that on.
Right. So you can't afford the electricity, can
no.
you?
No. Yeah. So I did the lot, Paul Andrews. Absolutely lot. I did four loads.
Yeah.
Got it all out.
I don't care about that. It was
so much so that I ran out of pegs.
Right.
And so I remembered I'd bought a new pack of pegs, one from Morrison's and one from Jay Sainsbury.
I know.
And
I know all about them.
They didn't even make it to the line. Not, I got them out of the packet.
What kind of pegs were they?
Plastic ones.
Yeah. So they all pinged apart. You moan like mad. Sainsbury's
DM'd me.
Sainsbury's DM'd you and said, oh, we're so sorry, Jules. We'll send you some new ones for free.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then you started 2 days of Twitter pylons about pegs.
Well, I never knew how many people were so enthusiastic about those dolly pegs.
The wooden ones.
Your auntie would have.
Yeah, well, my problem is, what are you going to do tomorrow? Lucky Heather.
that would be good, wouldn't it? Or peg dolls.
Well, you spend 2 days doing wooden pegs. You might as well do Lucky Heather tomorrow, aren't you? Yeah.
He's referring, listener, in case you're listening, because I know Nurse Liz is listening from Pennsylvania. She won't know about Lucky Heather because it's an English thing, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, many years ago, street sellers used to sell wooden pegs and Lucky Heather.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of the travellers that we would call them here, or the Romanies, perhaps.
Or just people that sold pegs and Lucky Heather.
But you can still get someone of a day if you're in the street somewhere selling a Lucky Heather. I have had.
Yeah, but can you get pegs?
No.
That's what we need to know.
No.
Can you get pegs?
No, but I did start Googling
Minkies.
Yeah.
Can you get Minkies? Can you get Minkies?
Mensonge, sulabe.
Mensonge, I don't love. My monkey's up a tree. Yeah.
I did a whole bit of research last night. My new husband was furious because instead of cooking dinner, he's going, is the chicken on yet, you know, in the air fryer? I did a fantastic chicken in the air fryer.
Hold on.
Can I just tell you about this? Because it was astounding. I was really tired. Yeah. I'd taken the dog for a walk. She's a greyhound. She's Rescue Henry. Yeah. That's our lovely guest, Henry Nicholson, who's chortling in the background. So I took Darcy Greyhound for a very windswept, windy walk.
Before or after the chicken?
On the way back, I did chicken, but I was hangry. You know when you haven't eaten for a long, long time? Well, you probably don't know that, but you know.
Yeah.
So I'd only had a little green smoothie.
I'm intermittently fasting at the moment, so I do know that.
How long will that last? 12 hours?
Well, at the moment, it's 12 hours, yeah.
There's a way of doing that, though, isn't there, that's quite easy. So you eat, like, kind of 11:30 brunch, which is what I do, and then you eat at, what, 7 o'clock at night or 6 o'clock?
Yeah.
And then you just go all night.
Yeah, exactly.
With a little...
Anyway, I've lost the plot here. We started on pegs.
We had a detour into air-fried chicken
and then a dog.
Well, what I did with my air-fried chicken was stupendous, and even the new husband was impressed, because we normally rub in a little bit of Cape Malay herbs.
My mum asked me the other day about getting an air fryer. My mum's 94 and she's got dementia.
Oh, my mum loves it.
And she found somewhere air fryers and she said, can I buy her an air fryer?
Yeah, get her one. My mum loves it. She does a little lamb chop in it and all sorts. Anyway, back to my chicken. So we had just a chicken breast.
Right.
We had.
As you do.
And I was hangry. So I started. I'm not the type of person to be hungry. I just don't do hunger. I get very ratty.
No, because you eat all day.
I know.
Yeah.
So while I was prepping the chicken, being careful not to touch raw meat and, you know, eat things.
Yeah, yeah.
But I washed my hands. I sort of got the chicken
out. That was nice of you.
And then I had a little snack, a little oatcake and some butcher's cheese. Very nice cheddar that I got from the butcher. You know that cheddar that's got
any minute now, we're going to find out what the link to pegs was. Any minute now, I'm just hanging on this to find out what the back link to pegs is.
Anyway,
because
I was going to research pegs and the best pegs to buy,
right, okay. You burnt
the
chicken.
I had to do a very quick chicken in the air fryer. So what I did was I got a little tub of my favourite, you know the Marmite with the peanut butter?
Yeah.
Which is like... That's genius. You either love it or you hate it, but it's fat and it's salt, so it's addictive. You can eat a whole tub, no problem. So I got the Marmite out on a little spoon. I spooned it up, quite a big spoon, actually.
Hold on.
And I smeared it over the chicken breast.
Hold on. Are you making your own peanut butter and Marmite, or are you bought in shop-bought one?
I've bought the shop-bought one.
I'm just checking.
Yeah, no, I suppose I could have done with, I could have got some pippin nut.
I'm checking your chicken.
I could have got some pippin nut, couldn't I, and then mixed done. It with Marmite. But done. This was a ready way to make Marmite. Anyway, so I got a big spoon, and then I take it off with another spoon, so I'm not touching it all.
Yeah, don't
and then
touch
I
it.
Then put my don't hands on and smear
it
all over.
Don't touch it, Millie. Don't touch it.
Smear it all over.
Yeah.
Popped it in the air fryer.
You smeared it all over what? You or the chicken?
Or the chicken.
Oh, right, okay.
Popping a little bit, of course, onto my oat cake.
Oh, yeah, as you would.
Well, you would. It's rude not to. And I put the whole jar on this chicken, apart from what I put on my oat cake.
Right.
And then put it on for 20 minutes. Quite a nice big carcass, but we'd already taken the wings and legs off and had them previous day with Cape Malay, which is a nice spice from Cape Town. It's nice spice from Cape Town. And the new husband came down and he said, what's happening with the dinner? He was all grumpy as well. Yeah. And I said, well, I've been researching pegs, so I've done a very quick one. And anyway, the chicken was absolutely delightful because it had gone all crisp.
Lovely.
And absolutely lovely. Pegs, when I research them, the wooden ones, which everybody's raving about, and I think there's a bit of who's that you're looking at?
Just someone waving through the window, as
really?
They do.
Oh, yeah. They do. One of your fans?
There's someone who had been listening to the show, because she came and waved the peg through the window.
Was it a plastic one or a wooden one?
I didn't
Or a minky?
I didn't have time. I think it was a minky.
Okay, so what I saw on the researching online of the wooden ones is that they're all very well, but they're not flexible. So if you've got a great big fat thing, like a towel...
Why are you looking at me like that?
A fluffy towel. Well, you're intermittent fasting, it can't be. They're maybe not as wide as they should be. So then I went on and discovered Minky, and they're made in the UK, and they're quite old. It's a sort of family business. So I've got some Minkies on the way, and they're cushioned grip. So I'll let you know next week.
I'm so pleased.
Yeah. So I went for a Minky, but of course I'm getting, you know, a load of people hating me because it's plastic. But having been to Dubai where they recycle nothing I've lost the will.
My entire timeline is taken up with idiots talking about pegs.
Well, they're not idiots.
Days.
It's a huge thing. Do you know?
I'm going to start a peg business.
Do you know the worst thing is, you know, washing, we have to. My new husband makes an awful lot of washing. I'm quite frugal, you know, just my underwear pops in, but I'll wear something else for days. I don't really smell.
Is that right?
But my new husband just pops everything in because, of course, he's grown up with a mum.
Yeah.
You know, whereas I am the mum
now. Yeah.
So he just drops it in the linen basket and he thinks the fairies do it. So we have a lot of washing and there's nothing worse. And if you're put, it's quite a satisfying job putting it all out on the line, isn't it?
Only if the pegs work.
If the pegs work. But when they just snap, it's very frustrating.
Anyway, shall we start this radio show about business now?
Yeah, I'd love to. We've got some great guests.
We've got, luckily.
Well, we've got Henry Nicholson, who I should call James for some reason. Mm. He's at the Rebel School on the Twitter, the Rebel School. Follow him. And we have Millie Moore, who sounds like a top actress, doesn't she, Millie Moore?
She sounds fantastic,
doesn't
she?
She does. And she is at Dad Unlimited, that's LTD, that's Dad UN. LTD, follow them. And we also have our boffin in the studio, don't we?
Our studio manager, our broadcast engineer, Mike Thompson. Yeah.
He's very techie.
Yeah, so he's got a full house.
He's doing all sorts of things. He's got his little Mac out. He's doing all sorts of, and there's all green lights going on.
Well, there you go.
You don't see this on Boom Radio, do you?
You don't, no. Well, they don't have a studio at Boom Radio.
I listened to Radio 2 yesterday afternoon and I had to turn it off after 2 minutes. And I've been listening quite a lot to Greatest Hits.
Boom Radio, that's what you want.
I also like Greatest Hits.
No, Boom Radio, that's
Simon
what you want.
Simon Mayo, Drive Time, that's, I listen
Boom,
to that quite
Boom
a bit.
Radio. The DJs are awful because they're all 80.
I'm sure I listened to it this morning on the way in, and I'm sure it was Diddy David Hamilton.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
But the name didn't flag up. Do the names flag up?
Why
don't they put their names on?
Because they're all working.
They can't remember them.
He's 84. I mean, it's all he can do to remember to switch the microphone on.
I've got a feeling that Mikey might know. One of the famous producers died. No, he didn't die. He's 92 today. He wrote for Luther Vandross and all them.
Right.
What's his name? Famous producer in America. Anyway, he's 96 today.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
It's also Clint Eastwood's birthday today, isn't it? He's 90. Yeah.
Boo, boo, boo.
That's him, yeah. Yeah, you got it.
Okay.
The Good, the Bad and the Ugly, yeah. For those that didn't get that reference.
Go on, Mick, my dear.
Yeah. Right, let's start the show anyway. We're only 11 minutes
in. Well, I'm waiting for you to start.
I've had a tweet from iTrust Assurance, the people that make the whistleblowing app.
What are they saying?
And they say Business Bunker.
Is that it?
That's
They've used the hashtag.
Yeah, they
expect a great big shout out.
Yeah, they do. But
I want more than
it's
that.
It's minimalist, isn't it? Yeah. But I've given them a shout out, haven't I? So it worked. Yeah. check the app out. You can find them on Twitter. I Trust Assure is their Twitter handle. Give them a look.
And I just heard from the lovely Robert Richardson, who's often a guest on the Scoff and Quaff show.
Absolutely.
And he's the CEO of the Institute of Hospitality Online, award-winning global body for the hospitality family. I can't read all the tweets because it's a great big thing, but he's amazing. Do follow him and the hospitality family. My woodburner man, Paul Andrews, who came yesterday to mend the woodburner, found out after... I found out after 13 years it was installed wrongly by a reputable person, a reputable company... installed wrongly. So when we shut it down, you know how you open it up to get it going and then you shut it down?
Yeah.
They put it in the wrong way.
Oh, yeah.
It's never worked for 14 years and we've always sort of blamed it on, you know, winds and things.
Mind you, you've got a stock of wooden pegs you can use now, ain't in your wood burner.
Yeah. Right. Can I have some of your tree?
There's
tree
loads
feather?
Of tree. You can come and get tree. Right.
I'll send my new husband around.
Right, I've got a shout out for Amplify Digital.
What are they saying?
Can we have a shout out?
Oh, so very minimalist shouts.
We're on minimalist today, by the looks of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's that kind of day. That's why
we've got a nice little essay now from Sarah Marsh Collins.
Yeah. What's
she saying? She says, a great lineup on today's Business Bunker show. Always interesting to hear about support for startups, especially during such challenging economic times. And men's mental health is still a major taboo. So looking forward to hearing from both Millie and Henry on the show today.
And Stephanie Young. Now, I lose track of where she is because she's a traveller, isn't she?
She could be in Canada. She could be in South Africa.
She could, but she says, sounds delish, Bee Bunker. And also, she does love Cape Malay. And is that a thing? And she's put a gif of Marmite on. Very clever.
Like it.
And the lovely Tracy Ferguson. Now, Tracy Ferguson on the Twitter is Tazy64. That's Tazy with a Z, 64. She's the owner of Plucky's World. And she supports self-awareness, personal growth. She's a trainer and a mentor. And she says the time to do what you love is now. And you can find her on pluckysworld.com. That's Plucky Y-S, pluckysworld.com. And she says... hi, Paul, Jules, and lovely guests. I'm out at the moment. We'll look forward to catching up with the Bee Bunker Replay show very soon. Always a great show. Have fun, everyone. See you later, she says.
Thank you, Tracy. You're welcome to join us at the Gravesham Business Network, which is taking place today at 5:30 at Kent Space in Ebbsfleet. These events are a good opportunity to meet other business owners and hear about the opportunities available in Gravesham and beyond. To book a free ticket for tonight's event, eventbrite.co.uk/Gravesham Business Network. eventbrite.co.uk/Gravesham Business Network.
And for all our Marsh, Romney Marsh and Surrounds listeners, I know we've got a lot now on
FM.
There's a face-to-face networking for small businesses and big businesses, I'm sure. It's for East Sussex and Kent. It's on the 4th of April, Marsh Network, East Sussex. It's at the Pet Village Hall, that's P-E-T-T. And the group, they say, is designed to enable businesses, social enterprises, charities and community groups in East Sussex and Kent to meet through regular face-to-face networking and other events. And there's also April the 27th, that's a diary date, at the Ship Inn. And that's 118 High Street in the lovely Dymchurch. That's 7:45 in the morning to 9:15 a.m. So there's two there, 4th of April and the April 27th at the Ship Inn in Dymchurch.
Cool. While we're talking networking, there's a networking meeting in Dover tomorrow, manana, Wednesday the 15th of March, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the St. Mary's Arts Centre in Strand Street, Sandwich. It's for tourism, hospitality and industry networking, and the event is hosted by Dover District Council, and the speakers include representatives from the Port of Dover, Dover Council and Bettshanger Park. If you want to find out more, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar. All the details and the booking link can be found there.
And Amplify Digital have amplified up again. They say, thank you, Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin. We didn't mean to be minimalist. Having a good old chuckle over here.
Well, do try, have we found out where they are yet?
No, they must tell us. I've got them in South Africa.
Okay, that's probably right.
Yeah, I'm going to follow them. Anything to do with South Africa, I love.
Do you?
Yeah.
Matthew Dorrington has tweeted, could we have a Business Blanker shout-out, please, Paul? The team at Blue Moxie Agency is growing, and we want to work with Kent businesses exclusively. Get in touch for a free SEO audit. We also now offer front-to-back web development. You can follow them on the Twitter at Blue Moxie, M-O-X-I-E, Blue Moxie Agency is their Twitter handle. And you can get a free search engine optimization audit from them if you get in touch with them. Oh, now this is confusing because it says Christopher, but I think it's Wayne, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, but we're not allowed to say that, are we?
Are we not?
No.
In case Elon's listening.
Yeah, in case he is. I'm sure he listens to the show, but Christopher.
He sent me a note. Elon Musk sent me a note. What time are you on, Paul? I said, 1 o'clock, Elon, mate. And he went, okay. He said, I'm going to listen just to see if I can find some naughty Twitter accounts to ban.
Yeah, I'm sure he will.
So I won't drop you in it, Wayne. This is Christopher.
Yeah.
Not Wayne. This is Christopher.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll be tuning in today, listening to my good friend, Jules Serkin, chatting with him.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah.
And the lovely guests on the Business Bunker show.
I wonder if he's listening in the Tesco Wi-Fi zone.
That's where he normally listens,
yeah,
isn't
he
it?
Has a little coffee.
Yeah.
Because we had a lovely Turkish meal, didn't we, Christopher, Wayne, whatever your name is now. Nurse Liz has come in from Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania 65.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She says she loves wooden pegs. See, it's just people just love pegs, don't they?
Yeah.
And then Liz.
But Liz, do you like the type of wooden pegs that are just got a slit up the middle and you push them over? Yeah. Or do you like the ones that have got a spring on them?
Oh, no, because they're the ones that I had also that broke. I also put pictures
I'm asking
those.
Liz, not you.
Yeah, but did you not see my pictures?
I did. I'm asking Liz, not you. Liz said she liked wooden ones. I want to know what type of wooden ones she likes.
She's in Pennsylvania. She'll have lovely old, you know.
Amish ones.
Yeah, Amish. And Lynn Klein says, I'm finding it difficult to find sturdy wooden clip-type clothes. Pins, she calls them. What's a pin?
Clothespin.
What's a clothespin?
It's a wooden peg with a slot up that you put.
That's a peg?
Yeah.
Why is she calling it a pin?
Because some people do.
Do they?
Where's she from?
I don't know. Let's have a look.
Somewhere.
BurkanaWellness.com. She's in Henniker, NH. Where's that?
New Hampshire.
Oh, it's America?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, all these American listeners coming in.
That's because she talked about pegs. They're all peg aficionados in New Hampshire.
Yeah, she's probably got a little, a critter below her deck.
Yeah.
And wooden pegs. Critters, they always have critters,
Critters,
don't they?
Yeah, raccoons.
I bet Nurse Liz has got critters.
Yeah.
So she says she's...
And wild caribou.
Yeah. No, they don't have caribou.
Yeah, they do.
Not in America.
Yeah, they
You're
do.
Talking
it's
about
only
Cape
just
Town.
Over the border. New Hampshire's only just over the border from Canada, isn't it?
I thought caribou was a chocolate bar.
What?
I thought it used to be a chocolate bar, didn't it, called
really?
Caribou?
Never heard of that.
Well,
anyway.
Henry Nicholson said something on Twitter.
Did he? Well, he can't get a word in the studio, can he?
Do you know he wasn't even following me before? I was a bit,
he's following
I was a bit
you
miffed.
Now. What did he say?
Five to one, he asked what my Twitter handle is.
What did he say? Did he say, could you shut up so that I can get my bit in?
He hails from Wembley. That
oh, no,
it.
Don't blame him.
He says, hanging out in the Bee Bunker, using the Bee Bunker hashtag.
He's very good.
10 points to Henry. Hmm. Talking all things the Rebel School. Today with Vanilla Webb, Anytech Limited and Jules Serkin. Oh, no mention of Millie.
I forgot.
Yeah. We'll get him back, Millie. We will get him back.
Right. So, it's Cheesy Tunies time.
Yeah.
On that note.
Yeah.
Are you going to get this?
I don't know. '80s. It's something '80s. I'm not very good on '80s. Depeche Mode.
Billy Idol.
Oh, Billy Idol, yeah.
Billy Idol, Rebel Yell.
Nice day for a white wedding.
No, Rebel Yell.
Never heard of it. But yeah, I get it. I prefer Nice Day for a White Wedding.
Well, it doesn't fit the Cheesy Tunies.
Is he married?
Rebel.
Very good.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Construction businesses, we're celebrating the very best projects, people, innovations and businesses in construction. Could this be you? Winning an award can help you open doors to contracts, find new supply channels and break into new markets. Each winner will receive a beautifully engraved trophy along with a total prize package worth over £1,000. Enter the South East Construction Awards now at constructionexpoawards.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Billy Idol, Rebel Yell.
It's a nice day for a white wedding.
No, it wasn't a white wedding. Why would I play White Wedding?
Same song with different lyrics.
No,
basically.
The whole point of Cheesy Tunage is to have a tenuous link to our next guest.
Very impressed.
And I can tell you for an absolute nailed on thing, Henry is not planning a white wedding this afternoon.
No, I know that. We were just chatting about
Are you married,
time.
Henry?
I'm not.
He's not married,
he's
so
available.
We could do it, yeah.
Well, there's lots of young... I've got a lovely daughter that's just split up with a man who wasn't very nice, actually, after 3 years. So, lives in Greenwich. Hmm. Very nice. Got a very good job.
Fortunately, I am off the market.
Oh, married, is off the market. Yeah, yeah. Oh, what a shame.
Right, anyway, listen, it's an absolute... we need some common sense on here, and we've got Henry, thank goodness.
Yeah.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the show Henry Nicholson. Henry is from the Rebel Business School. Now, Henry, we were just discussing while we were listening to that, that you had been on before, but it was during the lockdown, wasn't it? Mm. So we had to pre-record it. So it's an absolute pleasure to have you in the studio live today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, good to be here.
Yeah. Why don't you kick off and tell us about the Rebel Business School. What is it? What does it do?
Yeah. So Rebel Business School basically was born in 2012. So I was about three.
It was a school project he was doing.
Oh, I wish. No, it was... so basically the Rebel School was kind of born because, like, traditional business support... Mm. Doesn't fill the gap that it needs to fill. It doesn't support the people that really need it the most.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, you know, and what I mean by traditional business support is, you know, like business plans, loans, banks, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. It works for people who have already started businesses or know what they want to do and how to do it.
Yeah.
It completely fails anybody else. It doesn't work for those that, you know, have an idea but none of them know how. It doesn't work for people that haven't done it before. It doesn't work for people on low income. It doesn't work for those at really any kind of disadvantage. So the Rebel School was actually born out of that, and I'll sort of tell you the origin of it in a moment, but basically what we stand for is investing in people, not ideas.
Right. Okay. So
where, you know, the sort of traditional model, you'd write your business plan down. It's all about the idea. It's about how much money you're going to make, where you're going to be in 5 years, because obviously we know that.
This time next year, Rodney.
We'll be millionaires.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, it's a work of fiction, you know. Business plan years and years ago worked. And basically the purpose of that was to prove to someone who didn't know you, didn't know your idea, that they should lend you 10, 20, 30 grand to start this business and it's going to go well. Yeah. Now, the business plan is kind of only really used as a tick box exercise to sort of push you through funding rounds, and a lot of government sponsored things are relying on a business plan being a tick. But actually, like, you don't need any of that stuff. You can start a business with everything that you have already. And most of your listeners and you guys in the room, like, we started businesses. You didn't have a plan. You just sold something to someone and then built it as you went. Mm. And actually, that's a much stronger way of starting a business, because you're starting organically, you're starting in profit. Like, business is about having money, not owing money. Mm. So the fact that the model that we are taught is go into debt and then maybe in a couple of years you'll make money.
Make some money back.
If it works.
Yeah.
We call that bootstrapping.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah, we call it bootstrapping. And until a few years ago, I did a lot of work as an angel investor. But it really annoyed me, because I think bootstrapping, for the most part, is the best way to start things. There are some businesses that require capital to start, you know, because there's whatever the business is requires a big capital outlay to get it going. But for 99% of businesses, that isn't true, especially small businesses. Yeah. Bootstrapping is the way to go. So I'm 100% with you on that.
That's it. And you know, even if you are at a stage where, you know, you think you need some capital, you want an angel investor, or you're going for grant funding with local government, you still need to have been running that business for a while to prove that it works. Yeah. And actually, the bootstrapping, I would sort of say across all kinds of business, regardless, you know, because if you wanted to do a food business, you know, ideally you'd have your own kitchen, you'd have a food van, you'd have all this sort of stuff. But you've got to get the money to start that.
Yeah.
And more importantly,
all the equipment.
You've got to get all the equipment. But actually, you need to know if you're even going to enjoy it.
Yeah. Mm.
Because I think this is one thing that is missed out with the traditional sense, is that if you're not running a business that you are passionate about, if you run a business because you think you can make money, when things get hard, you're going to quit very, very easily. Mm. But if you're running a business because it's something you're passionate about, that's the energy source that keeps you going when things get difficult.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's just such a... Yeah, the traditional thing just is backwards. It focuses on the wrong thing, and it does more to put barriers in the way of people ever starting than it does to help.
Absolutely.
So totally that's what agree. We're about.
Okay, cool. In terms of that's your vision, your mission, and what you're doing, how do you deploy that?
Yeah, so the way that we work, so we sell business support to what we call sponsors, and that tends to be local councils, local government, and like social landlords and things like that.
Yeah.
We sell it to someone who has a community, And then that means we can give the support away for free to the people that need it. Right. So all of our courses, so we run 10-day courses that cover the all of the fundamentals of getting started. So that's everything from bootstrapping and starting for free, sales and marketing, building websites, social media, tax and accounting, you know, all that stuff that we hide away from and bury ahead of when it gets hard. But then we also dive into networking, negotiation, pricing, like all of the we sort of deep dive in this stuff, right? And we give all of that away completely for free because we've already been paid. We've gone and sold that to... so the stuff that we're talking about, that I'm actually here to talk about, is the work that we're doing with Kent County Council. So they've paid us. And that means that we get to engage the entirety of Kent County completely for free. And we can give this support away to whoever needs it.
Excellent.
And you do face-to-face workshops and online workshops, is that right?
Yes, yeah, we do a mix. It's been, so pre-pandemic, hilariously, right, find me a business plan that had a pandemic in it, right, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
So pre-pandemic, we won 100% in-person delivery. It was in-room, we used to have rooms of like 75 to 100 people. Like, it was brilliant, the atmosphere was incredible.
Yeah.
And then overnight, our business became illegal.
Yeah.
Because you just couldn't fill a room with people, right? And that's the last time we were chatting is...
It was, absolutely.
During lockdown one. And you were just saying it was great on Zoom because we didn't have to dress from the waist down.
Just from the waist up.
Well, you're on the other side of the desk to me, so you don't know.
And a pair of statement earrings, Henry.
That's it, yes.
All you needed.
I missed out on that one. But yeah, so so now, post-pandemic, we're actually doing a sort of a hybrid delivery. So we're doing a lot of stuff in person. Most of our delivery is online. So all of the stuff that we're doing with KCC is online via Zoom. But we always have like a networking session as part of it.
Right.
Okay. So that's the one that I'm going to talk to you about. So the next one we've got actually starts on Monday.
Right.
So it starts on the 20th of March. It's a 10-day course. But on the 28th, we're actually going to Chatham and doing an in-person networking session in the evening.
Right. Okay.
And we're going to be doing that at the Nucleus Arts Centre.
In Chatham.
So we're sort of adopting this hybrid model. And you know, we do this stuff across the country as well. It's not just limited to Kent. So and actually the rest of the world. We've got all kinds of stuff going on. But yeah, there's always a kind of delivery that works. And one of the biggest gaps that we're actually trying to fill now is, you know, like a 10-day intensive course from 10 till 3 works for some people, but completely misses a whole bunch of others. So, you know, if people are full-time employed, already running a business, or night shift, single parent, suddenly that becomes quite hard.
Or if you're running a restaurant hospitality.
Exactly, yeah. So we've actually doubled down on our on-demand content. So something that we're now actually planning on launching in the next few weeks is something called Rebel Plus, which kind of fills that gap so that people can get involved, learn everything they need to learn, have everything available in a really, really clear and easy to understand way that doesn't cost them any money or time.
Okay.
And then if they want, you know, come and hang out at a course, get some one-to-one support and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, cool. And the programs that you do, the 10-day programs, the people that come on it, are they just members of the public that sign up for it, or are they directed there by Kent County Council or whoever's paying you to do it, or is it a mixture of both?
Yeah, it's a complete mix. So a lot of the marketing that we do, it's a lot of stuff like this.
Right.
We work with job centres quite a lot as well, to help people who are sort of looking for the next, you know, what's the next opportunity, especially now. Like, we've got such a huge number of people that have, you know, maybe been made redundant, or like, especially off the end of the pandemic, and they're going like, well, I don't know what I want to do. I definitely don't want to go into the jobs that I'm being offered, you know, so I might create my own. So we do a complete mix. So a lot of stuff gets forwarded through KCC, and we do a huge amount of advertising on all the social channels that we're on. You can sign up for a free ticket on our website, which is just therebelschool.com/Kent. That will get you to the next available course that we're running.
Brilliant. Okay, I mean, it's fantastic stuff, and I love what you do. I think it's absolutely brilliant. I do a free program for schools, which is a careers program called 30-30. And again, one of the questions we ask is for A-level students, and one of the questions we ask them at the start of that program is, what's your intention? What do you want to do? When we first started that back in 2015, a lot of the students were going, I'm going to university. Probably 60 to 70%. Now it's less than 40% want to go to university. But an awful lot of people now are saying, I want to start a business, which we didn't really get before. So I would say between 15 and 20% of the students we talk to, we've done 2,500 students, they want to start businesses. Based on what you've done around the country, do you... I'm trying to formulate the question in a way that doesn't sound horrible. Is there a pattern to the type of businesses people think about when they're trying to start a business? You know, so does it fall into silos of we all want to start a hairdresser shop, or we all want to start, you know, a cafe, or is it just random?
Yeah, I mean, from what I see, it's completely random.
Right.
And, you know, some of the ideas, some of the business ideas that we get are just amazing.
Right.
And they're things that you can never even think about. And I think the thing that is the pattern is, again, it comes from that stuff that we've always been taught, right? It always comes from that traditional method that for you to have a business, like, what is a business? If you think about a business, it's someone at the top with a whole bunch of staff. Mm. Everybody's got tech. You've got an office. And it's there's kind of like this thing, you know, the thing comes to mind when we talk about it. Actually, somebody sat in their room playing video games whilst talking on a live stream, that's a business.
Yeah.
Because you're selling something to someone, that's all it is.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest pattern that we see is that people are held back by, oh yeah, but I can't do that yet because I haven't got a kitchen, or I can't do that yet because I haven't got a building, yet I can't do that because I haven't got staff.
Yeah.
And so and again, this sort of going back to the traditional, when we're talking about business plans, loans, and things like that, it doesn't address the biggest things that stops people. It just compounds it.
Mm.
And it just sort of goes, well, if you're not comfortable with money, oh, then you're really not going to start a business, because you really need to be good at money and you need to be good at numbers, right? So I think that's the pattern that I sort of see. It's not necessarily in the business idea, but I think it's in the setup of it. Is still, we still think very bricks and mortar.
Yeah.
Whereas actually, you can start a multi-million pound business from your bedroom using something like Square or Stripe. You don't have to do it all. Like, you don't have to have a shop.
Absolutely. But I'm saying this as an advert for my businesses.
Cheeky.
I own 3 community workspaces.
Yes. Okay.
So, of course, there are places now where if you do need an office, or you think you need an office, you can get them without committing to an office as well. You know, you can use it one day a week if you want. It's just a desk. You know, there are lots of ways that you can fulfill some of those things now that don't require you to have money up front, or, you know, commit to something long term.
That's it. Yeah. And, you know, like, speak to pretty much anybody that started a business from scratch. They would have borrowed something to get going.
Yeah.
They would have bartered for something. They'd have swapped their skill for something else. They'd have sold a bunch of stuff they had laying around the house. Like, how many of you have got a treadmill that is currently being used as a clothes horse?
Oh, yeah, yes,
right?
Me.
Yeah? So, like, sell it. That's an easy 100 quid that you can then spend on the things you need. Like, and I think the masterstroke for us, and the thing that we really hammer home, is about selling first.
Yeah.
And it's the model that we're used to as society. Like, if you think about when you buy something from anything online, let's say Amazon, God forbid, you pay for it there and then, and then you might get it, depending on the postman, you might get it 3 days later.
Yeah.
We've paid up front and we haven't got the physical thing yet. And I think what's really interesting is that when people start businesses, they don't think that that's how it can work. If you think about Branson, when Branson started Virgin Airlines, and most of you know this story already, but like, when he started that, he went and chartered a plane, got the price for a plane, then went to all of the people that were on his flight that got cancelled, sold the ticket, then went and bought the plane, then flew everybody over there. He'd sold the value first and then was able to start the business using the profit.
Yeah.
And it's just accessible, and I think that's the key thing we're on about here, is making it accessible.
Right? Absolutely. A friend of mine started a business some years ago, about 10 years or so, 10, 12, 15 years ago. And the first thing he did is he went and rented a warehouse because he was going to ship product.
Mm-hmm.
He never ever got the product in the warehouse. He used drop shipping, which he hadn't come across until he started to do it. And he just had a desk in the middle of the warehouse, which because he signed a lease on it, but he never used warehouse, he used drop shipping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There are so many ways of doing things, isn't it?
That's it.
But the thing that hit the nail on the head for me in what you just said, Henry, was it's about selling. Yeah. So many of us, my background originally is in IT in the city. Yeah. I never thought of myself as a salesperson. I never ever wanted to be a salesperson. Never believed I could sell. But when you start your own business, that's exactly what you're doing.
Except you're a natural salesperson.
Well, I'm not sure about that, because For me, if you said to me, right, you've got to get a job as a salesman, I'd go, well, what do you want me to sell? I'm not really sure about that. But when I'm selling my what I do,
yeah.
I'm not selling it. I'm just telling you why it's so blooming good.
Exactly. Yeah, but that gets back to what Henry said about the passion.
Yeah.
That's it.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
You can sell what you believe in.
Yeah, exactly.
By just mentioning it.
And I think that's the point that I was trying to make, that, you know, sometimes, especially in the UK, as I made reference earlier, I lived and worked in the US many years ago, and sales in the US, you can get a degree in sales here, you do a degree in marketing, which is not the same thing at all. In the UK, we tend to frown a little bit on sales as a career.
A bit like waiting on tables, which if you think of Spain and France, it's, you know, it's a really good job to be a waiter. It's revered.
But the point is, and the point that both you and Henry have made, which is absolutely nailed on, is that it's not selling per se. It's being passionate about what you do and telling other people. Mm. And that's the thing. You know, when you say to someone that's looking to start a business, you go, well, how are you going to sell? Immediately they go, oh, yeah, sales. I'm not that good at sales. And you go, so tell me about your product. And all of a sudden they launch into this animated discussion about what they're going to do. You go, you just sold me.
And you know, we employed, with New Markets Media, we employed a salesperson on a really, really good salary. And 6 months we had to let him go. He never got us one client.
Because he's not passionate about your product.
And we sent him to all the, you know, places he should be going, all the conferences. Mm. But he never got us one client. Yeah.
So, and it's real. It's a real passion game. And like a sale is just a transfer of enthusiasm from one person to another, right? And if you can do that, which if it's your business, pretty much anybody can sit at the other side of the table and feel the energy coming off of you, right? Yeah. As long as you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of networking events that I've been to where people have come up and then, you know, tried to sell me something, but you can just sort of tell, you know, they're just sort of doing the tactics and they're using these methods that they've learned, but they're not really bought into what they're doing. And actually, if you ask them, they'll go, oh yeah, in 3 years time I'm going to be over in this company, I'll be doing my own thing. And then they're not bought into what there is they're trying to do. You can feel it and you can smell it a mile off. So I think for me that's the biggest thing is it's all in sales. But you're right, not sales in a, you know, it's not an uncomfortable scenario, someone in a suit knocking on your door, like that's not sales. It's marketing, it's a method, but it's not the right one. But for you, like, you are not, by selling something, you are making the world a better place, right? Because the product that you're creating is needed, it's necessary in some way. And that's, you know, that's how it needs to. Sorry, that was my phone going.
That's all right. There's always one. Little guest.
He's convinced someone. They're on the phone now. I want that. I'm having that.
I want 10 of those.
Yeah, I want that. Yeah.
Multi-million pound business from your front room. Give us an idea, because I fancy doing that.
There you go. Anyway, one of the things that fascinates me as well, and I've seen this in things that I've done, is that sometimes other people can be a bit snooty about somebody's plan to do a business. Mm-hmm. For me, if you want to start a business, you can do anything. You can have a business doing anything. Too many people, in my experience, try to think of groundbreaking businesses and filling gaps. But, you know, there's a million coffee shops in the high street. It doesn't stop you opening another coffee shop, yeah? You just got to differentiate it. So, you know, I see simple things. The reason I'm saying that is many years ago, I used to do a Dragon's Den thing in schools. And I did a Dragon's Den thing in a school locally. And there were loads of people that, loads of pupils that came up with, you know, what sounded like fantastic ideas. Like, there was one kid that said, I'm going to make a heads-up television monitor so that you can watch the television while you're walking around. And you're going, right, how are you going to do that? I'm going to get it made in China. Yeah, okay, but, you know, and then what are you going to sell it for? Well, I'll sell it for £1 because then I can sell loads. And you go, yeah, right, I know that's going to work. But there was a young girl there, and she came on and started talking about it, and the rest of the kids started taking a mickey out of her. I'm going, shut up, I want to listen to this. She said, I'm going to, when I leave school, I'm going to carry on doing what I'm already doing, which is, I've got plaiting cows' tails.
This is her business?
Yeah, plaiting cows' tails. Uh-huh. And all the kids are taking a mickey out of her. And I went, shut up, explain it to me.
Do you do this now? Yes. And do you charge for it? Yes. How much? £50. Which is like 14 or 15. Do you get many? I do about 20 a weekend.
Wow.
I go, whoa, hold on a minute. It turned out what she was doing was going to country fairs and they were show animals. And she was preparing them for showing in the ring and she plaited their tails and she charged 50 quid and people paid it. I go, that's a business. That is a business. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. All this nonsense you thought up that are just, you know, imaginary stuff isn't a business. That's a business. And I like simple things like that, that people have just thought, right, I can sell this. Yeah, I've got a product or a service I can sell and somebody wants to buy it. Yeah.
That's it. It doesn't need to be groundbreaking. I think there's people, you know, and society as well, but people put a lot of pressure on each other and themselves to have the best idea. And it doesn't, it just needs to be an idea.
Yeah.
Because even if that only takes you 3 months, at the end of that 3 months, you're starting way, you know, 3 months further ahead on your next idea. And, and you learn by doing. And you know, most people that are currently running a business that really, really pays them, a lot of them have done ideas 1, 2, 3, 4, and they're on idea 5.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, everybody's in love with this idea of overnight success. And, you know, we all know that that's not true. It's overnight plus 20 years beforehand.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to all work first time round. And you've got to make mistakes. You've got to run into barriers because that's where you learn. And, and then you pick yourself up and you figure out the next step.
Yeah.
But our ethos is about doing that for as little money as humanly possible. Because, like I say, starting a business is about having money, not owing money. And especially now, like in today's climate and in the cost of living, etc., it's madness to go into debt to start something you don't know if it's going to work.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I couldn't agree more. I love the ethos and I love the vision of what you're doing. Yeah, because it's so easy to be trite about these things, isn't it? And just rock up and go, yeah, you know, write a business plan. Where are you going to be in 5 years' time or 3 years' time, whatever? Yada yada yada. Don't forget to register for VAT. And you know, do you want to listen? Although it is interesting as well. I don't know if you cover this. I'm sure you do because it's a basic thing. But again, something that I found early on with people I was dealing with like this is so many people didn't understand what vehicle of business to start, whether they could be a sole trader, limited company, limited by guarantee, CIC, or what's the other one they invented now, CIO. There's actually different company structures that suit different businesses in different ways. I guess that's something you cover as well, is it?
Yeah, and let's be honest, it's a tax game, isn't it?
It's
just about making as much money as you can and paying as little tax as you possibly can. That is the game. And that's where, you know, sole traders, limited companies, charities and all that stuff. But the good thing is that once you're earning a chunk of money, if this isn't something that's your strong point, you're probably going to pay someone to do it all for you. And that's the stage you want to get to. Make as much money as quickly as you can so you can solve your problems in style.
Absolutely.
That's the game.
Henry, it's been fascinating talking to you. Thank you so much. Give us a shout out again for the face-to-face meeting you've got in Chatham on the 20th of March?
28th. Our 2-week course, or sorry, 10-day course starts on Monday, 20th.
And that's online?
That's online via Zoom. You can find that at therebelschool.com/Kent.
Yep.
And then we are running that in-person networking event in the evening of the 28th, and that's going to be at the Nucleus Arts Centre in Chatham.
Fantastic. Henry, thank you so much for that.
Thanks, Harry.
All the links that Henry's just given you are on the Business Bunker Radio website. You can find them there. They'll stay there for the moment. Henry Nicholson, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Brilliant stuff. We're almost up to the news now.
We had a little tweet from Sarah Marsh Collins, who's back in Kent, of course.
Yep.
Hello, Sarah. And she says, selling is about mindset. If what you have can solve other people's problems, then it's not sales, it's problem solving. Ultimately, it's all about mindset. Refreshing points of view on the Bee Bunker, using the Bee Bunker hashtag, 10 points, Sarah. Listening in to Henry Nicholson.
Fantastic. What's on in Kent? I said, can we have a Business Bunker shout out, please? Great show so far, guys. Very happy listening to Henry there. And that's What's On in Kent, which is a free app that tells you everything that's going on in the county. Do download it.
And we've had a tweet.
Oh, pegs. More pegs.
There are more pegs.
There are more pegs.
Nurse Liz. I'll read that in a minute. But we've had a little tweet from our techie, Mikey, in the studio, who says Anytech Limited audio IT support for the Business Bunker show today. And there's a picture of me, the back of my head. Luckily, I've had my roots done just on Wednesday. So that's always, I wouldn't let him do it otherwise, you know. And a picture of Henry, looking very animated.
Hold on, just on Anytech. You know, they can do that.
My roots?
They can do anything.
Ah, well, they could, of course. They could do a little, you know, whatever you do on photos, a little Photoshop, couldn't they?
Well, I could, but...
Yeah, they can do anything.
They can do that.
And I'm wearing the team colours.
Absolutely. It's a bit purple.
Purple, yeah, exactly. I must just tell you, talking of pegs, I had, you know, I've had trouble with cleaners who don't turn up. The minute you mention that you want to pay into their bank account, they want cash, of course. Yeah. Long story short, the last lady didn't turn up. She decided on the morning she had anxiety, so she didn't come. Even though she texted me on Monday to say, really looking forward to it, blah, blah, blah. Anyhow, I had two lovely boys that came, Aaron and Jack, and they've done a very good job. But they're £20 an hour. You know,
each?
Well, I have 2 hours, so they do an hour.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, they were very good. They didn't do the skirting boards. They asked me to inspect, and I hate inspecting when they're there, so I haven't done a little inspection. They're back on Friday, and I will point out the skirting boards. Apart from that, very, very good. But £20 an hour, you know, it's not small.
It's more than a junior doctor gets.
Is it? What does a junior doctor get?
When they're all out on strike at the moment, because they only get £14 an hour.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. You know, it's not enough to feed a mouse, is it? And, of course, they're paying rents if they're in London or cities.
No, they're not, because they have to work 28 hours a day.
So they don't have to sleep anywhere.
So they don't have to sleep anywhere.
Had a stint with your mum at A&E again.
I had another 16 hours last weekend.
I had 21 hours at Ashford.
I had 19 6 weeks ago, and then 16.
I mean, we should just do the show from A&E. It'd be much easier. Yeah, and then we'd just pop in with our ailments.
Yeah.
But there was a lack of doctors when I was there.
Oh, no, there were loads of doctors.
Were there?
Yeah, there were loads of doctors when we were there.
I found too many nurses. They kept doing my blood pressure every 5 minutes. That was hilarious.
Pushing
my blood pressure.
No, that was hilarious. You're absolutely right. While we were sat in assessment majors we ended up in after A&E.
That sounds posh. Yeah.
And we were sat there, and they kept coming round with their little blood pressure monitors.
Yeah.
And the woman next to us, they did her four times in half an hour. And you're going... She had no idea what they were doing. I go, excuse me, you've already done her. And they go, no, we have to do this every few hours. And I went, four people have done her in the last half an hour, have we?
I know. It's very, very odd. Mm.
Vary Murray's been on.
Oh, up in Scotland.
In Scotland, yeah.
Is she cooking something? She makes lovely food.
She said, enjoying Jewel Circle. Why is she first? She's the co-host. Anyway.
You're my little helper, aren't you?
Yeah. Enjoying Jewel Cirque and Vinoweb and guests on the Business Bunker show today. Brilliant Business Bunker show. I'm going to be heading out now, but I'll be catching up with the rest later.
And Nurse Liz says, I inherited my mom's pegs, because Americans say mom, don't they?
Yeah.
M-O-M-S. My mom's pegs. Clothes pins across the pond. So they are called clothes pins.
I told you that half an hour ago.
I find it odd that they're called a pin, because what do they call a pin?
Our colonial cousins have taken the English language as it was when they went over there.
In
the 15th century.
Oh, yeah, when they were little pins.
Yeah. No, when things like fall was the traditional word in England for what we now call autumn. But of course they've continued it. Yeah.
And we've got all hoity.
Yeah. So they don't use the letter U very often in things like colour and labour and stuff. And apart from certain places in America, they don't have pavements.
No, they have walkways.
Sidewalks.
Walkways.
Sidewalks.
Oh, yeah, sidewalks or something like that. I met her auntie. I've told you this every week. But I met her auntie because Nurse Liz wasn't staying. And they took me to a traditional Brooklyn diner. It was really amazing. Mm. And then I went back to auntie's house and I was chatting away to auntie. And Nurse Liz texted me afterwards. She said, Auntie really loved you. She couldn't understand a word she was saying, but she really liked you. You know, it's kind of a different language, but it's the same. Our little cousins.
Yeah.
So they're called pins. And then across the pond, March the 14th, is written 3-14 equals the numbers PL or PI. I'm not quite sure, because it's PI day today in America, whatever PI day is. So it's about the date, 3-14. Where they write the date and the numbers of PI. It's all a mystery. I don't know really what it is.
It's pie.
Yeah,
it's a mathematical symbol, oh, pi.
Well, I left school at 15. I never really got pi.
I left school about 3.
The only pies I know is steak and kidney or apple.
Phil Wilson has tweeted.
What's he said? Drumming?
Yeah, Phil is the drummer for Mudd, amongst other things, and also he's in T-Rex the Sea. And he says it's a great show. So thank you, Phil.
I was asking him about learning the bongo, and he never answered me.
Learning the bongo.
I asked him twice. Well, because when I was in Dubai, there was this amazing bongo player at Beach Club, and I love the bongo. And he had a little mic on it as well, so it was really amplified. And I said to my new husband, I'm going to learn to play the bongo, because I think it would stop me biting my nails, Millie. I do bite my nails terribly. It would stop me, because of a night when I'm about to bite my nails, which is when I sit down and watch telly, I could do a little bongo.
Can you just wear mittens?
Oh, well, no, Rebecca Serenity Bed gave me some mittens in lockdown because I'm not surprised,
because you keep chewing your nails. So you wear mittens.
I've seen you chewing your nails at the count.
Mittens with a bit of elastic between them, nice, around the back of your neck, so like that.
Yeah.
Kim Stevens from Caring Kent has been on. Hello, Business Bunker. I'd love a shout out today, please. Hope you're all well, enjoying your show.
We haven't heard from Chips and Dinks, have we?
We haven't, no.
No, I wonder what they're doing.
I'm not sure.
Well, I parked in Barnes to get my routes done, and because my car's so low, it's a little sports car, Henry, and the pavements are really high. So to get out, as I was coming out, the bottom of my car scraped on the pavement. So I had to pull it in, and then, of course, there wasn't enough gap for me to get out. I'm quite a tubby person at the moment. And so I managed to sort of squeeze out. But then also I'd got my alloy caught on it as well. And as I drove off, it was like a flap of it hanging. And I thought, oh, God. And I just went faster and faster, and I could hear this flap going, ding, 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 ding.
You didn't think of stopping then?
No, I just went faster to get rid of it because I had to get home. It was dark. It was 8 o'clock and I was tired and fed up and hungry. But what was that? It was a strip gone. It was going ding, ding. I got out and looked, and it was like hanging. And I thought, oh, I can't deal with that. So I just went very fast, and it went ding, ding, ding. Silence. Off. So I'll have to go back to Chips and Dinks and see what's come off my alloy. And I just had them done, didn't I?
I don't know.
It's not me. It's the high curb.
Oh, of course
curb.
It's not you. No.
High curb in Barnes.
No. It's not you.
Herne Bay is just as bad. High curbs. Yeah. If you have a sports car and a high curb, it's terrible.
Right. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom in a moment.
Yeah.
When we come back, we've got another fabulous guest to talk to. We're going to talk to Millie Moore of Dad's Unlimited. And we'll probably hear some more nonsense about pegs from Jules, sadly. Sorry about that, I can only apologise. But let's join the newsroom, and then we'll be back shortly. So,
let's see what's happening.